I want to look at a couple of sections that Richard spoke about last week. I want a couple of verses because it helps in some senses to set the scene for the part of the chapter that I'm going to look at now. And the first section was from John chapter 5, but this is 19 and 20. And these, all the readings are from the New Living Translation. Verse 19 says, "So I tell you, one can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son, everything he is doing." The thought that struck me really as Richard was sharing this last week was that Jesus does nothing by himself. I just thought, what an amazing sentence that is. And in a sense that we need to grab hold of that in our own minds and hearts. Jesus does nothing by himself. He only does what he sees Father doing, to actually grab hold of. Father God loves his Son to such an extent, he was showing him everything that he needed Jesus to do. I was thinking about that and how much, you know, in a sense, if we put it into our own terms and we think about children and how actually teaching them to do something, it's such a thrill, isn't it? I was remembering, actually, we talked about Harrogate and my daughter's going to a conference up there. And I said, actually, when we were at a camp up there, a Christian camp up there, that's when I taught you to ride your bike. And it's one of those things, I can picture it, it was a big slabbed area, and we took the stabilizers off, and we had a few tumbles, but she learnt to ride a bike. Isn't that amazing? And how excited I felt, and how excited she felt. And that's what this is about. Jesus was doing the things that God had taught him. Have you noted children, this shows my age, and technology is going so much mad, that children, when they look at a phone or even a picture, what they do is they go, because they want to see the next photo, and they don't understand it's actually just one picture that's on the side and there isn't another 20 to come. But actually, they're learning and they're actually experiencing the things that we're doing. They want to copy, they want to learn from us. And that's what Jesus was doing. And when you've got those sort of things, we're in that technology age now that we've all got pictures, or most of us have got pictures on our phones. And it's things about things that we remember. And I'll come back to that in a minute. But Father God was showing Jesus, and Jesus shows us. He's the real sense of love. Jesus loves showing us how to do things. How to pray, how to encourage, how to bless, how to bring peace. Jesus taught them as he teaches us, because that's what God was sharing with him. What a motto for us. I had a thought about it, and this might seem a bit morbid, but I was thinking about my tombstone. And I realise you all are doing this. No, Neil. But what an amazing thing to have on your tombstone. He only did what Jesus did. He only did what I don't think I've got there yet. But it is something to think about, isn't it? That's what Jesus was doing. When we see Jesus, he was reflecting God. He was doing what God did. And it's absolutely amazing. It's incredible. Put your own name on the front. I do. It's an amazing thing to think about. This is the other verse from Richard's passage last week. "And I assure you that the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice and the voice of the Son of God. and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life-giving power to his Son. The dead, even the dead, heard his voice. They heard the voice of the Son of God. Because Father God gives life. He's a life-giving power. He gave the life that Jesus gives life-giving power to us. And those who listen will live. Jesus was about sharing this life-giving power. And that's what he gives to us. So, let's go back to, I haven't actually got to our reading yet, and I'll get to our reading, but I just wanted to say that I want to actually dissect the reading a bit, because actually I found it a bit meaty to when I was going through it. So it's not in a clinical sense, there's going to be no blood involved, but there is a dissection going on. And as I thought about that, I thought about things that you keep on your phone. So, obviously, I just say, I'm proud of my granddaughter. So I have a picture on my phone because she's special to me. Now, back to the dissection. My niece trained to be a vet. Now, the thing she had on her phone was slightly different. She actually had pictures of operations she'd performed on animals. And I'm going, right, lovely. So as I thought about that, I thought of the next slide, which you thought was going to be something else, but it isn't. This is Strider, and obviously last time I spoke, you've met Strider before. This is my daughter's dog. And actually, my niece, at one point, offered to operate on him, actually, to sort his manhood out. Needless to say, that didn't happen. But it happens elsewhere, but not by my niece. And so I'm talking about dissection this morning, but actually all I'm really talking about is going through the reading in stages. So let's go through. This is the first part of the reading. If I were to testify on my own behalf, my testimony would not be valid. But someone else is also testifying about me, and I assure you that everything he says about me is true. In fact, you sent investigators to listen to John the Baptist, and his testimony about me was true. This passage and all the bits of readings that we're going to go through, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders of the time. And they're all standing there listening. And in the way the reading is portrayed, it's as if Jesus is talking to them as if he was on trial. And he's trying to put over his case. And because he's talking to the religious leaders, I have to say the challenge for me, and it might be for you, is that am I like that religious leader? Am I like those religious leaders in the way that I react and the things I do? That was the challenge that was in my mind at the back as I went through this passage. But Jesus is challenging them, and he's saying, if there was the only testament was myself, me saying that I am the Son of God, that might seem to be in question. And if we think about what that means to be a witness, to give testimony, there's some rather interesting cases that are actually taking place in the news and actually happening at the present time. And the thing is, when we look at those people and the witnesses, there's one. The question we ask ourselves is he telling the truth? And we have our opinions and we have our thoughts, and the honest answer is, we don't know. We really don't know. And that sort of, I wanted to put that in your mind, because that was the way Jesus was trying to talk to these religious leaders. And he's saying, I understand what you're saying, but the witnesses about me are really important. And witnesses are important, aren't they? A friend of mine was telling me a story about somebody at his workplace who was caught drinking while they were on duty. And they managed to encourage, bribe, that they would change their story of that incident, that they said, oh, it wasn't they were drinking, somebody had spiked their drink. And actually, the lie was believed. The person didn't lose their job. And it was covered up. It is important to have a sound witness, somebody who is witnessing about the things that are happening. And this is what Jesus is talking about. So let's remember, and I spoke some weeks ago, earlier, when we did this passage, and this is the passage of the witness that was from John the Baptist about Jesus. He, being Jesus, has come from above and is greater than anyone else. We're of the earth, and we speak of earthly things. But he, Jesus, has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. He testifies about what he has seen and heard. But how few people believe what he tells them. Anyone who accepts his testimony can confirm that God is true. For he is sent by God. He speaks God's words. For God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves his Son and puts everything into his hands. And anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. That was the testimony that John gave about Jesus. And that was what Jesus referring to. This is the testimony that other people are speaking about me. Jesus came from heaven. John says, we talk about earthly things, ordinary things, and however much we try to put it in a different way, our experiences of earthly things. But Jesus speaks about heavenly things. He speaks about the things he's seen Father God done. And therefore, he speaks about the things he's seen and heard of godly things. God blessed him with an abundance of the Holy Spirit, without limit, and puts all things in Jesus' hands. So those who believe in Jesus will have eternal life. This is John's testimony, which was really quite incredible, the way he spoke and what he shared. These are the next couple of verses from our passage. Of course, and this is Jesus speaking, I have no need of human witnesses, but I say these things so that you might be saved. John was like a burning and shining lamp, and you were excited for a while about his message. But I have a greater witness than John, my teachings and my miracles. The Father gave me these works to accomplish, and they prove that he sent me. Jesus explains to the religious leaders, I don't need any witnesses. I'm the Son of God. God is my witness. But without being blunt, they just didn't get it. They just didn't understand. And in a sense, they came and listened to John the Baptist. He'd caused such a stir. He was out there in the desert, and the religious leaders had come to listen to him and to try and get a grip with what he was saying. But they didn't believe him. They didn't believe his witness. They didn't believe what John was saying. The people believed. They took on straight away what John the Baptist had said. And so they were prepared, which is what his purpose was, and open to the Holy Spirit and open to the words that Jesus spoke. But the religious leaders, they were too proud. If they actually accepted what John had said, they would have to change. They would have to admit that they'd been wrong. That would have been too hard for them. And it seemed to be that it was too hard for them. I have to say, the question that came to me there is, they were refusing to change. And sometimes we fall into that boat, don't we? How easy do we find it to change? Jesus challenged the religious leaders. How can I, the Son of God, do these miracles, these healings, bring about change in people's lives if God wasn't with me? And it was an incredible point. But they're so blinkered by now that they just couldn't see it. All they were into rules and regulations. And when Jesus overstepped the mark, that's all they saw. They didn't see the amazing change in these people's lives. They'd already discounted John, because they discounted what he said, and he was the way that he was drawing them to change. They couldn't get to a place of believing in Jesus in that way. One reads about that some of them were challenged. If we think about the story of Nicodemus, Nicodemus obviously found it difficult to struggle with both sides of all the things he'd rules and things he'd been taught. And yet he'd got questions, things that he wanted answering. So it wasn't all of them, but obviously the majority just could not get to grips with Jesus at all. Verse 37 says, "And the Father who sent me has testified about himself." Testified about me, himself. Father God actually put his blessing, his made it clear to people who he was. Remember that picture that I had, and I thought it was an amazing picture, and this was the picture that I found just of that blessing of the Holy Spirit onto Jesus, that sort of picture representation of Jesus' blessing by his Father. And the passage that goes with it, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." Sometimes we need to actually put it into our circumstances to get what that really meant. So I can say, and if you want me to spend half an hour, I can talk about my granddaughter for half an hour. Well, I could talk for hours, actually. Because I'm proud. We're actually on waiting for the call to have number two grandchild arrive. So I'll be even doubly proud. I don't know how you can be doubly proud, but you can. But you can relate it. There are people, family or friends, that we're actually really proud of and we're encouraged by and strengthened. And God was saying, in the same vein that you might say, "Wow, this is my son, this is my father, this is my mother, this is my whoever, this is my friend," he was saying, "This is my son whom I'm dearly loved. And he brings me great joy." God was so proud of his son. He testified about his son. Remember, as we're going through this is all Jesus speaking to the religious leaders. And as he's speaking, he says, "You have never heard his voice or seen him face to face, and you do not have his message in your hearts." He's speaking directly to the religious leaders. You don't have the message of God in your hearts. That's pretty chilling, because that's their job. because you do not believe me, the one he sent to you. You search the scriptures because you think they'll give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me, to Jesus. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive his life. It's hearing the words and taking them on board. My dad's got to that happy age now. He's got two hearing aids. And you have very one-sided conversations. And so if he suddenly thinks of something to say, he'll just say it, you know. Because he's actually got out of the habit of listening because he finds it hard to listen. And we can do the same. We cannot listen because we've got out of the habit or we're finding it difficult. And Jesus was challenging these religious leaders, saying, you're not listening to Father God. You don't have the message in your heart. You've learnt it as a set of rules. It could be nuclear physics for all it meant to them, because it was rules. It's head knowledge. You don't understand what God's doing. Because it is head knowledge, it hasn't gone to your heart. He was challenging them. He says to them, the prophets spoke about Jesus, and the religious knew these in essence, but they didn't relate the prophecies to Jesus, because their expectation was that the Messiah was going to be another King David. They expected a warrior. So they couldn't fit this picture. How does this person standing in front of them fit the picture that they've had for hundreds of years? And the answer is, they couldn't. They couldn't get their head round it. And so they couldn't understand Jesus. Jesus was so different to what they expected. They had no heart. And he was really challenging them. And when we read scriptures about how Jesus challenges the religious leaders, he is actually quite brutal with them. Because he's saying, you know it all, but you know nothing. We need the heart of God, don't we? God gave Jesus the power to change lives. And even as he was changing lives, the religious leaders just couldn't see it. They refused to accept Jesus for who he was because he didn't fit their understanding. He didn't fit the bill. And it's easy to get lost, isn't it? And it's easy to misunderstand. We had that evening some time ago where we did the murder mystery and we were on a table together and we had a great night. But because we were helping organising, we were coming in and out. And I came back and we'd got fixed on somebody who we thought was the murderer. It was total rubbish. It wasn't them at all. Because we weren't listening. We weren't listening. And we'd got fixed. And that's exactly what these religious leaders were doing. They'd got fixed in their head. And so they couldn't actually... So the fact I'm... There was one point I'm questioning, you've had somebody who said there was blood on their hands. Do you think that might be a clue? And they go, no, it wasn't him. It was this other person. And we can. And it's even now we still do the same things, don't we? We need to be open. And these religious leaders definitely weren't. Verse 41 says, your approval means nothing to me because I know you don't have God's love within you. For I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have rejected me. Yet if others come in your own name, you gladly welcome them. No wonder you can't believe. For you gladly honour each other, but you don't care about the honour that comes from the one who alone is God. He challenged them to the core. And he said to them, I don't need you to, you don't acknowledge me. It means nothing because you don't understand God's love. You have all these ideas and principles in your head, but you don't understand the love that God sets on you. And they didn't understand the heart of God. You're happy to listen to those who you don't know, but you're not happy to listen to the people who you are beginning to understand. You are not prepared to hear the things of heavenly things. Their hearts were full, well, their heads were full of rules and not heart. And we can fall into that trap as well, that we follow the rules. We must do this, we must do that, we've got to do this. And we miss the heart, the love, the gentleness, the openness, the way that Jesus was actually teaching us to be different. We can miss it as well. We need to be open. Last couple of verses. Yet it isn't I who will accuse you before the Father. Moses will accuse you. Yes, Moses, in whom you put your hopes. If you really believe Moses, you would believe me, because he wrote about me. But since you don't believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say? Jesus concludes this time as he's speaking to the religious leaders, and he faces them that even their hero of Moses was going to accuse them for their lack of neglect of the people, their lack of heart, their lack of trust of what God was doing. And the basis of what their belief was that the Jews saw Moses as their hero. They were children of Abraham. And some of the Jews would even go as far as to say that if they had faith in Moses, it was the same as having faith in the one who made the world. That's how high, how important they thought Moses was. And they believed in Moses. And Jesus is saying, even Moses will speak against you. Even Moses will speak against you. So it's just sort of round up. He only does what he sees the Father God doing. And then a clip from one of the part of the reading. The Father gave me these works to accomplish, and they prove that he sent me. Jesus didn't fit the bill for the religious leaders. He doesn't actually fit the bill with some of those people around us, with the people we work with, the people who live next to us. Because they don't see the heart. We need to be the heart of God. We need to be that heart of Jesus. And we can lose it as easily as others. And it's something we need to actually make sure that we dwell on as we understand and get a greater sense of Father God and who we are in Father God. We will be that heart. We will change things. We will change the atmosphere in the different places we are in because of God's heart, of because who we are in Jesus. We need to build on that Father heart that Jesus is indwelling in us. As we grow in understanding of God, as we are released in time and released in that sense of his heart for us and for those around us, we begin to realize that we can share Jesus' heart in a fresh and an amazing way. And it's that picture which I had again last week. And it's that picture that we need to grab hold of. That God loves us to such an extent that he's got a shelf full of DVDs all with your name on. Now, some people find that hard to believe, and we find it difficult because we think sometimes as Father God as a judgmental. Yes, he will judge, but actually he loves us to an extent that we sometimes still don't get to grips with because of the experiences we've had. But actually Father God says, yeah, I'm going to take out this DVD. And in the same way I would take out some pictures of Grace, my granddaughter, and go, do you remember when she did that? He does exactly the same for us. He takes out a picture of Dave Barnsley and saying, remember when we did this? He takes a picture and a DVD out about you. That's how much he loves us. And the difference that will make, and we'll go back to the morbid, is that as we get that, we'll be entitled to put on our gravestone, we did it, not Frank Sinatra's way, we did it Jesus's way. And that's what we need to grab hold of, isn't it? That we're going to do things in Jesus' way, in his strength, with his blessing. Aspire to that. So it's not aspiring to have in a tombstone. You don't have to aspire that. But it is aspiring to have that this somebody would actually say about us that yes, he or she is a man of God. He or she, I recognise Jesus. There's something different about it. That person. Now, people do say that about us, and sometimes they think it's because we're weird. And that's okay, because that might be their first step to understand that we're different, and we actually do things different. And that's okay. But actually, once the understanding comes a bit more, is it's more than they're weird, it's actually because they've actually got God's love. And he changes those things. One last thought. Again, this is showing me age a bit. Anybody remember Don Francisco? Showing your age as well. Okay. One of the songs he used to sing was, and the words were, love is not a feeling, it's an act of the will. We choose to love, and we choose sometimes when we get stroppy with other people, we choose. And Jesus was trying to challenge us to choose to love, to have an open heart. It's an act of the will to love. And sometimes it's really hard. And that's why we need the heart of God. We need the heart of Jesus to make the right choices, to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, to be the person who brings peace, the person who brings, in Jesus' name, he brings healing.